the gut punch of hearing those three dreadful words, you have cancer. It's like the floor just dropped out from underneath you and you're in a free fall. Fear, anger, grief, a tidal wave of emotions crashing over you. But it doesn't have to be this way. Hi, I'm Dr. Katie Deming. As an integrative oncologist and former radiation oncologist who has cared for thousands of patients over her career, let me guide you safely through the fog. Join my Six Pillars of Healing Cancer workshop series. Starting May 2nd, I'll unleash the proven holistic roadmap to clarity and deep inner calm. I'll impart the fundamental nutritional, emotional, physical, and spiritual keys to unlocking your own body's healing potential. No more grasping for answers just out of reach. No more of the unknown weighing you down. Registration is open now. Check the link in this episode's description to anchor yourself to this life-changing series. You've got this. On today's episode, we are talking about Psych-K, a technique for releasing past trauma, processing emotions, and also programming the subconscious mind. And the reason why I'm doing this episode is this emotional component to healing from illness. And so one of the techniques that I use with my current clients is Psych-K. So I've invited Will Hahn, who is a Psych-K practitioner and actually one who works with my clients. And a lot of the questions that I get around the emotional work is, do you need to relive the trauma? And is this potentially going to re-traumatize someone? And so he answers all of those questions about what does this work look like? How long does it take? Is it painful? You know, is it effective? And really giving a picture of what it would be like to explore this technique. So I know you're going to enjoy this. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Born to Heal podcast, and I'm your host, Dr. Katie Deming. After two decades of practicing as an oncologist and caring for thousands of patients, I've seen firsthand how our healthcare system places obstacles in your path to true healing. My guests and I will bridge the worlds of Western medicine and alternative healing to help you achieve optimal health. Expect to uncover new insights, share a few laughs, and maybe even shed some tears along the way. But most of all, we'll learn how to heal from within together. So let's dive into today's episode. I am excited to be joined by Will Hahn, who is a practitioner that I work with in my practice. He does reprogramming of the subconscious mind with my clients. He also helps them with emotional processing and also with dealing with past emotional trauma. So welcome, Will. It's a pleasure to have you here.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think, you know, what might be interesting to start with is just to hear a little bit of your journey of how you came into doing this kind of work. And one of the things that I mention a lot on my different channels is Psych-K, which is one of the techniques that you use in the work. And so, you know, kind of explaining how did you come into doing this work? And yeah, I just want to hear your story.
My history is like probably 25, 30 years of my own self-development work. So I'll try and condense it as much as quickly as I can. But so from pretty much ever since I can remember, like I remember in my early teens, I just felt like something was missing. And so I was always looking for something to make myself feel better. I think that I've suffered from depression, even though I didn't realize it at the time. So for a lot of my years, I really struggled. I was very much an introvert, very shy, just felt very disconnected with people. And so I knew that there was something more inside me. I've always had that feeling that I had something more to give. And so I went out and looked everywhere I could to try and shift whatever was going on within me. And so I went down the rabbit hole of self-development. And for pretty much for 20 plus years, I tried everything I could. And I tried conventional things. I tried very unconventional things. And no matter what I did, nothing really seemed to work. I always feel like there was something just not quite right. After a while, I thought maybe I'm broken. Maybe that I just can't be healed. But I'm a very stubborn person. So I just kept going. I kept looking. And I just happened to be watching a YouTube video on, I think it was a Bruce Lipton YouTube video, and he was talking about something. I can't even remember what he was talking about. And he mentioned this thing called Psyche. And I don't know why, but this thing just like something just hit me like a ton of bricks. And I got all emotional. I had tears sort of like running down my eyes. I'm like, what is going on? And I sat with her and I had this intuition come up that this thing called Psyche, whatever the hell it is, here's the answer. And I just had this knowing that this was going to change my life. And so I Googled Psyche to find out about it. And I discovered that they were actually going to be doing a 2-day workshop on how to do the Psyche process in my city for the first time ever. This is like more than a coincidence. And so I signed up. I went to this, back then it was a 2-day program. And after the first day of the program, my life was completely different. I feel like I was a whole new version of myself just after 1 day of the program. And so life was never the same after that. So that's sort of how I discovered Psyche.
Wow, I love that. And I'm curious, actually, what felt different after just 1 day?
My thoughts, my mind chatter. Usually it's a very negative mind chatter, but my mind was just very still, very silent, more positive. And I felt like how I felt more authentic. I felt more like my true self.
Like more comfortable in yourself.
Yes, that's exactly it, yeah. I didn't feel like I was wearing this mask. Yeah, I could let go of that mask once and for all. And so, yeah, it was an amazing day and yeah, something I'll never forget.
Well, I'm glad that you never gave up. And I think this is what's so interesting is this story is so universal. We all have that feeling like something's missing, something's not quite right. And I think it's a lifelong path to like find what it is that you're here to do and your intuition will lead you if you listen.
Yeah, exactly.
I love hearing that story of how your intuition guided you.
Yeah. So that got me to, that made me discover Psyche. And then I can maybe give you a bit of background around how I got into the healing journey and how I'm working with people on their healing journey. And so I did a lot of work around Psyche. I'd shifted so many things. I felt completely different. I thought everything was going amazingly. So this was like probably 5 or 6 years after discovering Psyche. And so life was doing really well. And this intuition thing popped up again. And it said that I was living in Brazil at the time. And this intuition said, you need to go do some plant medicine. And I really didn't know nothing about plant medicine. So I sat with it for a while and I trusted my intuition. And so I went to this plant medicine ceremony. And during that ceremony, I was given this awareness that I thought I was okay, but really I had suppressed all this trauma that I thought I dealt with during the ceremony. I was given this awareness. It's like, you haven't dealt with it. You've just suppressed it. That's all you've done. You've just pushed it so far down that you're not even aware of it. And here it is. And so it was a really confronting ceremony. And so I had to then use the Psyche because Psyche is really good for healing old trauma. And so I had the tool there to sort of work and do that stuff on my own past trauma because previously, I wouldn't work with people around trauma and I didn't really resonate with it. But after that healing journey of my own, I started having this almost like a calling to help other people with their trauma and help them because I find that a lot of people suppress their trauma. They feel like they've healed it, but really just like me, they've just suppressed it. And so now I do a lot of work around people, yeah, finding that true healing and letting that stuff go.
Well, I love that. And I think, I mean, let's start with that because there are multiple components to the work that you do. But one of the big things that you do when we work together is helping people release emotional trauma. And so I'm wondering if you want to talk a little bit about that and what you see and how, you know, working with people through this can be really impactful and change their lives.
Yeah. So I've worked with a lot of people over the years. And when we can work with surface level stuff, but I don't like working with that surface level symptom stuff. I like to like sort of dig deep and go, okay, what's behind that? What's behind that? And all the time when we keep digging deeper and deeper, it always come back to the same stuff. It always come back to some things that happened in the past that was a bit traumatic and someone hadn't quite learned to process, to let go. And so the more I do this work, the more I understand that so many things is just related back to those old past traumas that people didn't know how to deal with because often we're taught not to allow ourselves to be emotional. When we're children, we hurt ourselves and generally a parent will want to come and try and take that pain away. Like a loving parent doesn't want to see that child in pain. And so they'll say things, they'll try to do whatever it takes to take the pain away from the child. they'll say things like, it's not that bad, it's okay, stop crying. If you stop crying, we'll give you some sort of reward. And so that child quickly learns that they need to start suppressing those emotions. Even when, like say, kids are at school, they can get teased if they're emotional. Siblings and friends can be like, they can be pretty bad when you're emotional. They can pick on you, tease you, things like that. So we learn to suppress things pretty quickly. That's where a lot of our problems begin, by holding on to that stuff.
And so before working with you and my clients, I basically thought for someone to heal trauma, they had to go back in and they had to talk about it and they had to, and honestly, I saw some people re-traumatized by just doing the therapy that was supposed to help with the trauma. So I'm wondering, can you describe the techniques that you use? Are they requiring people to go back in and consciously relive these experiences, or what is it? What does it even look like?
So yeah, so that's a really good point, because yeah, if you're not doing the technique, if you're not doing the healing properly, you can reinforce that trauma. Because what's going on is that we're actually two separate minds. We have this conscious mind that we're aware of, but then we also have this subconscious mind that we're unaware of. If you think of the actual meaning of the word subconscious, is below awareness. Mm-hmm. So most of the time, this stuff would blow awareness. And the language of the subconscious mind is emotion. And so what happens is when we're traumatized, we suppress that emotion and we push it down into that subconscious. And it just, and we hold on to it, but we're not even aware of it. And so what the process does is, instead of using our conscious mind, which is the verbal language, which if we just constantly talking about it, that can actually maybe reinforce the trauma. So what we do is we actually go into the feeling side of things and heal through the subconscious mind, not the conscious mind. So that's why this technique is so amazing when it comes to healing, is because we're actually going to the root of where that trauma sits.
And so I love what you just said, because the healing of the subconscious mind is accessed through the feeling. Exactly. Rather than the verbal talking, which is so interesting. I think that, like, you know, at least when I first heard about that, I was like, oh, wow, that's different. So when you're doing healing with people around the trauma, it's really going to the emotions and tell me what's happening. Like, not necessarily the mechanism of exactly how this is happening, but what are you doing with bringing up the emotions, and how is that helping them release the trauma?
So emotions are meant to be expressed, not repressed. And so I allow the client to be able to give them the space to be able to feel into those emotions. A lot of time people are really scared to feel into the emotions because they feel like they won't be able to control the emotions. It'll just keep getting worse and worse. And so there's a lot of fear around feeling into those things because they don't want to relive the trauma. They don't want to just like keep being on this vicious circle. It's about giving yourself that space to be able to feel those things. And really just the process of allowing yourself to feel is healing in itself. Like whenever someone has a big cry, at the end of the big cry, they generally feel a lot better because they've just released these things. And so it's about identifying maybe what that trauma is, but then how is it showing up emotionally? What were they feeling as a child? Another good thing about this process is that with really old childhood trauma, a lot of the time we don't have conscious awareness around it because it happened so long ago. So this process allows you to heal even if you don't have that conscious memory of the trauma. You can still get in touch with the feeling and allow yourself to feel that and process that and release that.
Well, and also one other thing that, just through my own experience, because I also have worked with Will and done the Psych-K techniques with him and process. But one of the things that in learning about Psych-K, when I was first learning about this, was understanding that the brain, when people go into emotions, they can either get very right brain dominant and become like overly emotional, or they can, if they're left brain dominant, they can become overly analytical. And either way, then experiencing the emotions, like you described, we're meant to experience emotions and not suppress them.
Exactly.
It becomes scary to experience emotions. Either we're going to become overly emotional and kind of lose it you know, be like a puddle on the floor, or we're going to just explain it away and be, you know, totally analytical about it. And this process allows activation of both sides of the brain when they're processing those emotions. So it creates an environment that makes it easier to experience and allow those emotions to flow through you. Am I saying that correct?
So yeah, it just allows those two distinct hemispheres to be able to communicate and to be able to process and to let that emotion go instead of it being trapped.
Someone will say, like, I went through 10 years of therapy. Like, how long does it take when you're using this kind of process to deal with trauma? Like, is it years of doing Psych-K or?
So it might be a bit hard to believe, but when I work with people, I do something called a rapid trauma transformation with people. And we can sometimes go through 3 or 4 distinct traumas in that session and process them and heal those things. So it's a really rapid process. Like, once you identify what the trauma is, you go through the process. And the process itself, I've had people go maybe like 5 minutes to release the trauma, sometimes 10, 15. I've had one person who was there for an hour, but that's very, very rare. It only happened once. But for most people, it's like 2 to 10 minutes to release and to heal an old trauma. It sounds too good to be true, but I've seen this thing hundreds of times, and it still blows me away to see how someone is at the start of that process and at the end. They look so much lighter. Their face changes. Their posture changes. It's just an amazing process. I'll never get tired of seeing the results of this process. It's incredible.
Yeah. Well, and I've seen it through my clients who go and see you and then come back and they're like, I had this huge release that I didn't even know was there, around whatever it was from their past. So
it's incredible. So everyone says, like, when I ask them, how do they feel at the end of that process? Everyone says the exact same thing, like exact. So I'm not going to say what it is here because I don't want to plant a seed in anyone's mind in case they want it when they do the process, but they all feel the same at the end. It's amazing.
I love that. And so tell me, with, in addition to helping people process and release emotional trauma from the past, one of the things that I love that you teach clients is how to become fluent with their emotional processing so that they don't suppress for future, or so that we don't create problems in the future in our body by suppressing now.
Yes.
And I mean, you spoke a little bit about this, that we are emotional beings. We're intended to experience emotions, but maybe you can talk a little bit about that, because it's not just releasing the past trauma. It's like, how do we then not re-traumatize ourselves with just living life and having emotions that are suppressed in what we're experiencing?
Yeah, I think it's about honor their own feelings and stop suppressing their feelings. It's a new muscle that people learn, and the old habit is to suppress and people have realized that that's not healthy. Like, it shows up in self-sabotage. It'll show up in health conditions. Like, holding on to that old emotional trauma is so damaging in so many ways. And people, when they feel so much better, they realize that, okay, this is the way to deal with emotion. It's about honoring them, feeling them, even noticing where they show up in the body and just allowing those emotions to show up when they need to. Often what happens when we go on a healing journey with a client, emotions will just start popping up out of nowhere. And this happened for me as well. Like, when I went on my healing journey, in the middle of nowhere, I would just start, tears would just start rolling down my eyes, and all this emotion would just pop out of nowhere for no reason. The old me would have just like flicked the switch, pushed that down. But I now realize that I just need to allow whatever's showing up just to be released and to be heard and be seen. And so clients quickly learn that for themselves, just because they feel so much better once they learn to feel. So as you said, like, we're emotional creatures. We're meant to feel. We're not meant to be this logical, emotionless creature.
Yeah. And it's like really a relearning. You described most of us were programmed to suppress it, right? So this is like, once they have that experience of releasing emotional trauma, then they start to learn how to experience emotions as a healthy human being so that they don't become sick from those emotions and allowing them to flow through them.
Yeah. It just feels so natural for people that they just do it, start doing that automatically.
Yeah. Well, and also, when you give people skills, because one of the things that happens when we've been trained or programmed into not allowing our emotions is that either we fear them, right? So let's just use, going into the right brain, and we become like overly emotional. People are then afraid to feel their emotions, right? Because I'm going to lose it. Or then they are overly analytical. And so the you know, those are coping mechanisms. So like you said, it's a muscle that they're learning how to yes. not go to those old patterns, but just to allow it. And I think that then it's like becomes a model too for me with my kids now. I model for them, what does it look like when it's okay to be sad? It's okay yeah. to have feelings and emotions that come up, and it doesn't mean anything's like wrong. You know, there's just, this is kind of what's coming up for me, and yeah. modeling for them, you know, a new way of being. So I love that.
Yeah, that's such a common thing with my clients, with children. They pass that wisdom onto their kids, and they just allow them to express themselves and not suppress the emotions like we were taught in the past. When you learn that for yourself, it can definitely be a generational impact.
Hey, conscious healers. Dr. Katie Deming here. I've created an intimate space where we dive deeper into complex healing topics, where you can get personalized product recommendations and more resources to fuel your conscious healing journey. I'm excited to announce that I've launched the Born to Heal Substack newsletter. You'll receive exclusive information that goes beyond the 1 hour a week we have here together. Behind-the-scenes interviews, delicious healing recipes, and on occasion, episodes get a bit too, you know, sciencey. So I'll create a handy FAQ for those episodes. Subscribe for free today at katiedemingmd.substack.com or find the link in the episode description and get ready for a weekly infusion of holistic health wisdom. Yeah, I've definitely seen that within my family. And I'm also cautious about the language that I use when I'm comforting my daughters, because of course you want to take away the pain, but it's like, no, allowing them to have the emotions and express emotions and help them feel safe and cared for in having that experience, which is, yeah. that's what we really want for them. That's what we want for anyone, is for them to feel, the people that we love, to feel safe and comforted in whatever they're experiencing.
Because it's not safe to express. And that's the reason why a lot of people, that's why we do not express, is because there's no safety. So yeah, if you can give your child that safe environment to express, it's going to be so beneficial.
I love that. And so can you talk a little bit about reprogramming the subconscious mind? So we talked a little bit about our trauma, but tell us about this difference between the subconscious and the conscious mind, and how you can reprogram the subconscious mind, and how that can be impactful for someone's health and well-being.
Yeah, so I think I mentioned before that, yeah, so we have the conscious mind, the subconscious mind. 95% of the time, we are living from that subconscious mind. So it's almost like this autopilot that we are just going through the day unaware. You can notice this a lot of the time when you first learn to drive. I remember when I learned to drive a manual, and it just seemed impossible. I had like 3 pedals, but only 2 feet. And so I was thinking, how does anyone do this? Like, it's impossible. But what's going on is that we're using that conscious part of our mind to try and drive the car. And the conscious mind isn't really that powerful. It can only do so many things at once. No, it can't do many things at once, actually. And so what happens after a while, when we do that driving, when we do that repetitive task so many times, it'll actually get moved into the subconscious mind. So the subconscious mind is where we have all the habits, where we have our common beliefs, how we see the world. And so you think about it now, when you drive, you're not even really thinking about it. Often you'll be like driving and you'll be like, was that like a red light? Or like, you don't even remember it consciously, because you're just, you know, this automatic pilot. And so it's not just driving we do this. We do this in so many things. And often when you talk about, say, like health-related things, when someone wants to, say, eat better, generally they start off with eating a really healthy breakfast, maybe a healthy lunch. But when they get tired, when that conscious mind sort of starts to get depleted with that willpower, we then start to move back to those old subconscious eating habits, and we can eat crap food at night. Generally, people eat the bad food at night. And so that's what's happening, is that subconscious pattern is taking over again. If we don't have a supporting subconscious belief, we're going to be constantly reverting back to those old bad patterns. And so that's why the psyche process works so amazingly, because there's many processes out there that will change the subconscious mind to give you those empowering beliefs to be able to support you. But I find that Psyche is one of the quickest and easiest subconscious belief change processes I've ever come across. It's amazing. I've tried so many, but this is just, yeah, this is amazing.
And so what are some examples of things that you can reprogram that may be sabotaging someone's ability to get healthy?
We can do stuff around identity. when someone goes to the gym all the time, it's because it's part of their identity. They're a fit person. And so you can change that subconscious identity to be a different way. We can do stuff around actual beliefs. Let me give you some examples.
Like, let's say smoking, like a prime example. Can you use this to help someone stop smoking?
Yeah. So anything, any habits we can change with, because it's all subconscious patterns. So I've helped people with smoking, also phobias as well, because phobia is just a belief around something, or just have this fear around something. So I've helped people remove fears around bees and spiders and all sorts of things, cockroaches. So that's really quick and simple. That's amazing. Another example is allergies. And so I had so many allergies when I was a kid. I was allergic to pretty much everything. I was allergic to like yeast, and I was allergic to cats, dogs, dust, pollen, like pretty much everything and anything I was allergic to. So IK could actually remove my allergies. I was like a little bit skeptical. I'm like, how, like, it can't be that easy, because I've had these things all my life. And that a lot of allergies is a trauma response. And so what can happen is when the body goes through a traumatic event, it'll look at everything in its environment and think that maybe this thing in the environment was the cause of the trauma. And so if there was like cat hair in the environment when I went through a trauma, my body would then want to avoid the cat hair. And so when I didn't do anything around cat hair, I actually healed the old trauma, and my cat allergy went away. My gluten allergies went away. All my allergies went. So now I can eat gluten. I can have a cat. Before, I would walk into someone's house, and as soon as I stepped in their house, I could feel my eyes itchy. And I'm like, how do you know? I only just took one step. And I was like, I can feel it. That's how allergic I was. I couldn't, if I rubbed my eye, I would be all this. But now it's like, yeah, there's no problems at all. So yeah, allergies is a really big one.
Well, and I love that you shared that, because I was allergic to cats too. And we had a cat before where I had to shave the cat. I felt so bad. This like cat, you know, looked like this naked mole rat, because I could not have the hair on the cat. But my daughter was going to be devastated if I didn't have the cat. So when the cat passed away, this was like in the summer of 2022, I told my daughter, I'm like, I can't get another cat because I just am miserable. Like my eyes and just like everything you described. But my daughter wanted a cat so bad that I was like, you know what, maybe I can use subconscious programming. So I did that. And then basically we got two cats with like the most hair. I'm like, I bought the cats with like the most hair possible, ragdoll cats that are just like these like complete fur balls. And I can hold them. They sleep with me. And I'm not having any allergies, which is amazing. So I know that this works. And I know also that people are like, you're crazy if you think that allergies can be reprogrammed. But I'm telling you that I did that just because I was like, I knew the power of the subconscious, and I knew some of these techniques. So I just went ahead and did it. And I have, you know, two fur balls to prove it.
Yeah, if it didn't happen to me, I would think that it was a crazy notion as well. I wouldn't believe it unless I've been through it. So
yeah, well, I love that. So, you know, I think this has been great, because my goal with this episode was to introduce my listeners to these different modalities, because Psyche is just one modality. And I know you work, you know, Psyche into like a bigger kind of healing approach that you have to your patients, but I'm wanting to introduce these different modalities so that people can see, okay, if you have a history of trauma, you don't have to just go do traditional therapy. There are these other techniques that can be more effective at helping to process the trauma, and then also teaching people how to be with their emotions. And I know the power of your work. So thank you so much for being with me today. And I'm wondering if you can share, just where can people find you? So if people, after listening to this, want to know more about your work or what you're doing, where can they find you?
Yeah. So probably the easiest way to find me is Instagram would be, yeah, one of the easiest. So if you just search for my name, Will Han, H-A-N-N, trauma healer. And yeah, you'll find me there. You can just send me a message, or even on Facebook. You can find me on there pretty easy. Just send me a message. And yeah, we can just have a chat if you want to sort of know anything, think more about, yeah, healing and letting go of some old stuff.
Perfect. Well, I'm so grateful for the work that you do. And thank you so much for being here today.
No, my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for joining me on Born to Heal. It's been a privilege to share this time with you, and I hope that today's episode has offered you valuable insights on your journey toward optimal health.
please consider subscribing, sharing this podcast with your friends, and leaving us a review. To learn more about how you can work with me, please visit katiedeming.com. You can find additional resources in the episode show notes linked below, and remember to join us next week as we continue to explore more holistic approaches to healing. Until then, this is Dr. Katie Deming reminding you that just like me, you were born to heal.